have paid my ransom. Yes, this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Grace to you and peace in the name of Jesus, our living Lord and our Savior. Jesus is the King. I think we'd all agree to that. Certainly those who were gathered together on that first Palm Sunday, for the most part, agreed upon that. But just what kind of King is Jesus? What kind of King do you want Jesus to be? Life is great. The snow is melting and the flowers are starting to peek out, and I've got good grades and good test results back from the doctor. The cancer is gone. The grandkids are doing great. Everything is going so smooth. Life is wonderful. Jesus, you're so amazing. You are the best ever. Let me wave my palm branches and proclaim that Jesus is the King. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. We often praise God when life is good, when God is acting the way that we think he should. And so also the crowds praised Jesus as they saw him coming into Jerusalem. Jesus is the King. But what kind of King is he? The people clearly expected a political king. They expect him to be the Messiah, the promised son of David. The crowd is gathered for the feast. Thousands are swelling the city of Jerusalem. Many in the crowd have seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead and do all kinds of miracles. And no doubt there were a few Pharisees and scribes hanging around trying to see just exactly what Jesus would do. The crowd is waving palm branches, an expression of praise for a conquering hero. Simon the Maccabee was honored for his victory over the Syrians around 141 BC with a parade where people were waving palm branches. In BC 165, palm branches were also used to celebrate the rededication of the temple. Palm fronds had become a symbol of national identity for Judea. Waving palms was one way of expressing a nationalistic sentiment, sort of like waving the flag in a parade for the 4th of July. The crowd was wondering, is Jesus going to make Judea great again? They're crying out, Hosanna! The Hebrew word comes from the word for salvation. And it's in an unusual verb tense called the hiphil, which actually has a causal sense. Cause us to be saved, King Jesus. Jesus is riding on a donkey, fulfilling that prophecy of Zechariah, reminiscent of the Davidic kings, but also a sign of humility. There will be very little pomp and circumstance surrounding this king. But the crowds are growing. This is the son of David. He is a prophet anointed by God. He's coming to start a revolution. He's going to toss out the hated Romans. He's coming to launch a new day, a new nation, a new kingdom of God. And they were almost right. But Jesus wasn't that kind of king. Maybe he's the kind of king who will judge righteously. Maybe he's coming to kick butt and take names. A king who will rule with an iron fist and stamp out injustice and dishonesty. Instead of taking on the political leaders, Matthew presents Jesus attacking the merchants at the temple. money changers exchanging local and national currencies, often pocketing a substantial profit. Sellers of animals for the myriad of required sacrifices, also gathering in the court of the Gentiles, supporting that local temple economy. Jesus calls them a den of robbers. And he demonstrates God's righteous anger as God's house has been made a place of thievery. These religious leaders have perverted God's nature and his presence. The temple was intended to be the location where God meets his people. It was never intended to be a hall of commerce, a place where humans profited from religion. And so Jesus drives them out, turning over their tables, showing as much anger as any of the gospel accounts demonstrate. I don't think our video truly demonstrated the level of righteous anger that Jesus felt over these folks taking over his place. God's desire, as Jesus said, is that his home would be a house of nation, a house of prayer for all nations. Some of us have a picture of a gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But this is angry Jesus, genuinely upset with righteous anger because people are getting in the way of God's relationship with sinners. Jesus is a king who brings righteous judgment. But he will bring righteous judgment in a very unexpected way. Not through power. Not yet, at least. Maybe the people are looking for a king who heals. A king who rules over all creation and makes life the way it's supposed to be. Maybe Jesus is that kind of king. After all, the lame are healed. The blind receive their sight. Jesus is demonstrating that he's more than simply a miracle worker, some kind of magician. No, he's the king over all creation. He's making all things new. He's reconciling anew in the midst of a broken world. He's the king over all creation. But ultimate healing is going to come in a shocking and sacrificial way. As we gather today, as we worship our Lord, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, the question is for us, what kind of king do we want Jesus to be? For you, for me. Sometimes we also want a political king, a Jesus who will make the world right and bring us earthly peace. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came and people followed him and we didn't have to worry about all the violence and evil out there? For thousands of years, faithful people have longed to see God come as a political king and make heaven on earth, or at least in our little corner of the world. Other times, we may want a righteous judgment kind of king, especially when we see so much injustice and hatred in our world. Who wouldn't want a king to come in and establish order? Who wouldn't want to see all the greedy and unrighteous taken down a notch? Who doesn't love it in the Western when the bad guys get their justice? Well, for one, the bad guys don't like it so much. We long for a king who will bring justice and judgment, but only when we get to decide who's just and how they will be judged. We want someone to fight our battles for us. Are we willing to trust someone else to define right and wrong for us? Are we willing to allow a righteous King Jesus to judge us when we fail? Sometimes we want a king of creation. We would like one who fixes everything that we see is wrong. We'd like him to heal every disease, to make our life and the lives of those around us fair. We would like a kingly heavenly, healing Lord Jesus, who removes all the bumps from our paths, who makes our world bright and sunny every day, and who eliminates pain and suffering in our lives and in our world. But our King Jesus doesn't do that. At least, he doesn't do that for me. King Jesus doesn't always act the way that we think he should. And he disappoints us, much like the people on Palm Sunday. Because Jesus came to be more than simply a fulfillment of their hopes. He comes to be more than a king, more than simply meeting our expectations. No, Jesus shatters those expectations, and he opens up something new and even more glorious than anyone could hope for or imagine. When Jesus came before Pontius Pilate, he told him, "My kingdom is not of this world." God's kingdom is a kingdom of the heart, making peace between God and us, and making peace among people of faith. And we have to wait. We have to wait for the final fulfillment of all that God is doing in this world. When the kingdom of God in all of its fullness, all of its justice, all of its righteousness will be ushered in at the very end of time. We wait for that new creation, the new heaven and the new earth. We wait for that day when, as Paul says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Jesus is the true King, the true King whose identity is revealed in service. Palm Sunday is not the end of the story. Jesus goes to Bethany, but he goes there to return to Jerusalem. Later that week, he will eat the Passover with his disciples, and he'll be arrested and tried and condemned and crucified. And just a few days later, the cries from the crowd will not be, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The cries will be, "We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him." Jesus is most fully revealed as the King on the cross at Calvary. It's on the cross where Jesus is seen in his fullest glory. He is the King of the Jews and the Gentiles. He gives his life for all people, for all nations. He's the King who brings righteousness and justice by taking the punishment that you and I deserve. He's the King of all creation who brings healing through his suffering. He brings life by his death. Jesus is the King. The King of all creation, our King, the Lord of the universe. And he is our King who enters into our creation and dies for his creatures. He gives his life for you. And he pays the price for your sins, your foolishness, your pride, your failures. This kingly sacrifice of love is the greatest act of service ever recorded. The King will die for the sins of his people. And in that dying, he will bring life and salvation. The gifts that our King gives are worthy of our praise and our adoration, not simply on Palm Sunday, but every day of our life. He is the King who does not turn his back on pain and tragedy, but who lives it so that you can have strength and forgiveness, so that you can have eternal life, so that you can experience the presence of your God forever. Hosanna to the true Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. We now worship our Lord and Savior through the giving of our tithes and our offerings, and as we do, we meditate on the words of the hymn.